are Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Hamas has released two elderly women it held hostage for more than 2 weeks. Egypt's state-run TV has shown post-release video of them. CBS's Roxana Saberi in Tel Aviv.
The two women that we saw on TV match photographs posted by a website kept by the families of missing Israelis and Israelis held hostage by Hamas. The website says the women are ages 85 and 83.
The latest on the fighting from CBS's Tina Kraus.
Israel's military says it launched more than 300 airstrikes over the past day, aimed at Hamas operational infrastructure and military targets in the Gaza Strip. Israeli defense forces have also started limited ground raids in Hamas-controlled territory. This Tier 1 commando says he's already spent 5 days fighting Hamas militants inside Israel's borders.
We didn't sleep, we didn't eat, we fought all the time.
There could be more of that if Israel follows through with a ground invasion.
There's some relief in Gaza with three convoys crossing in from Egypt today. The UN's Andrea Di Domenico says they need more than food and water.
Fuel is a critical commodity, not only for the desalination plant, but is critical for hospital, is critical for delivery of water, the pumping of water, but also bakeries and other shops that we need to use to produce the food.
Nine Republicans say they want to be the next House Speaker, but CBS's Nicole Killian says one appears to have the edge.
GOP whip Tom Emmer seems to have that front runner status at the moment. Keep in mind, he is number three in leadership, the Republican whip, so he really has been tasked over the better part of this year as the person to try to rally all sides to win agreement on various pieces of legislation.
Oklahoma's Kevin Hearn tells CBS News he's been trying to influence his fellow Republicans with bags of McDonald's cheeseburgers. He's a former franchise owner. Automaker Stellantis says it's outraged that 6,800 auto workers have walked out of its biggest money-making plant, a Dodge Ram factory north of Detroit. The company says the strike came after what it calls productive conversations with the union and a new improved offer. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez has answered charges in a New York federal courtroom, but not this reporter's question.
Senator, were you a foreign agent to Egypt? Senator, did you betray your country?
Menendez has pled not guilty to conspiracy and bribery. He's accused of accepting tens of thousands of dollars in cash and gifts from Egyptian businessmen in exchange for using his influence to help them. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 191 points in today's trading. The Nasdaq gained 35. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Suicide and Crisis Lifeline receives $17 million in federal funds to expand services. Here's Brittany Merlot.
The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline Service answers 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline calls, texts, and chats from Wisconsin-based phone numbers and locations. These funds will be used to create more jobs within the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline workforce, build connections with organizations that serve those experiencing mental health or substance use emergencies, and raise statewide awareness of the service.
There will be a public hearing in Wisconsin Rapids today on childhood obesity. The speakers' task force will discuss the tours happening around the state. At 1:30, the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin will discuss their program, We're All Moving. This is a collaborative project working toward lowering obesity rates within the Menominee Nation. That's at the River Block Auditorium in room 206 at 1:30 today. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 49, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 69. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, isolated thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, you don't like the way I'm talking, hey. So you stand there, keep on calling me names. No, I'm not your enemy, so if you're gonna do it, don't do it. Hey, do you wanna check my DNA? All the stories done to go away.
Welcome, everybody.
I believe in fairy tales, oh.
It is the 6 o'clock hour, and thus the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined in the booth by Anya Esther. Good afternoon, Anya. How you doing today?
Oh, Maggie, I am doing. Today is certainly one of the days of my life, for sure.
chalk it up. It's one of those. We're going to jump right into it today. As you and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks, Anya, it has occurred to both of us in different ways that what is going on in Israel, and the history of how did we get here has some interesting echoes in our present moment in the United States. And that there may be some extractable lessons from all of this. And Anya and I we're going to talk about this extensively today. If you want to join our conversations, 844-967-2789. What parallels do you see between Netanyahu's leadership rise to power, his, you know, longest ever serving prime minister of Israel, basically done in two chunks? What parallels do you maybe see to our current time? Because Netanyahu is a populist, right? And before we get into those parallels, and I'll let you speak, of course, for yourself, Anya. What I just want to say is, in this show, we're not going to be really commenting on Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. We're not going to be commenting on what Israel should or shouldn't do. We're not going to be weighing into that foreign policy argument. What we're going to be looking at is Netanyahu's power, what his politics are, and what those lessons are that can be observed, or facts observed that do speak to this very American moment. And I, maybe it would be best if you're cool with it. Like, here's these things that may seem so distant and far away, right? Actually are showing up in our everyday lives. Dom works out at the JCC on the north side. He said, you know, that Monday they had extra security and police at the JCC, that these things, though they seem removed, really do matter. And a friend of yours in Bayview had I upsetting doesn't even begin to cover it. Yeah, what happened today?
Yeah. So a friend of mine, I'm not going to name who, I'm going to, you know, a friend who lives in Bayview, has lived there for a long time. She walks a lot, walks alone, but during the day, you know, she takes these long multi-mile walks to process through things. And she told me before going on this walk, she was going to actually go out and try to process all the news about what was happening overseas, try to walk out the big, frankly, the big emotions she was processing. And on that walk, she starts, well, she sends me one big text that says, I just got yelled at from a truck. I don't know what he said, but I'm just realizing now I'm in my, and I'll leave out the name, but Jewish organization, insert here, sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. She was wearing a sweatshirt that had like a teeny tiny menorah on it, but it had Jewish iconography. And I immediately called her. I said, like, where are you? We figured out where she was. I was like, well, there's this in that area. Could it have been this? No. And we just stood there on video call with her stunned and with me stunned, like, well, it could be nothing. But in her words, he seemed really angry. He stopped his truck to yell at her before driving off. And now and then she's just alone on the street. Like, we just are all alone on the street is the feeling. And then I just wait there for the next hour until she texts me. I made it home. I finished my walk. I'm back home safe. And it's like, is home even safe now? Like, it's it is a living nightmare, and it is taking everything in me to not swear on air right now while talking about it. So, yeah, it's a lot.
I can appreciate that. And extremism doesn't serve anybody.
No, right.
It just doesn't. Dehumanization of foes doesn't help anybody. So let us proceed. My best wishes to your friend. Be well and know that some of us Gentiles care very much and are allies.
Yeah.
And we'll be there to support.
Thank you. It means a lot, because it there have certainly been moments these past week. Has it been a week? Has it been a month? I don't even know anymore.
Right.
It has felt like we're alone. So thank you for that, Maggie. And thank you to the people who we met yesterday who came up to me and said, I can't express how overjoyed I was to hear from people, just to hear that you listen. And then for people to say, I listened and what you said moved me. I really haven't stopped crying all day for a multitude of reasons, but some of them are joyous, like yesterday. So that's good.
Finding community in those that aren't like us, that don't pray like us, that don't believe like us, that should always be possible, right? And I hope, we're going to talk about some heavy stuff this show, but I hope that that is what people take away from this, that community is possible, communing with others.
Yeah.
Even when they look different, believe different, eat different, think different, whatever that is. And it's only through community that we can make things better. You don't make things better for just some people.
Right.
We got to do it for community.
Yep.
So here's my checklist. Donald Trump is a far-right populist strongman with authoritarian tendencies who's facing multiple federal and state indictments that largely relate to fraud and bad acting, lying, cheating, stealing, etc. Extrapolate different legal theories, but it's all basically about that. The man's a liar and a cheater and a thief. He elevates extremists and radicals. And in turn, when he does that, he expects personal loyalty to him. And that those people, those extremists and radicals that he promotes, that not only will they be loyal, but they will protect him no matter what oaths they have made to country or state. He sows division, racial hatred. He's dividing the country. He's undermining faith in our institutions. He has now lost the faith of most of our country's recent military leadership. He has undermined civic leaders And his lackeys in Congress are now literally threatening our foreign policy, are the need for us to support Ukraine as well as Israel. And have basically hobbled our military through obstructionism. The House of Representatives is in shambles. This is Donald Trump. So let's talk about Benjamin Netanyahu. When we were talking this morning about the show, Anya, you reminded me that the first time I saw Benjamin Netanyahu, I was a congressional intern for then Representative Tom Barrett, former mayor of Milwaukee, who was a member of the House of Representatives. It was the summer of 1996.
Wow.
And Netanyahu had just won election. And he came and addressed the joint houses of Congress, and I was there. But what that actually spurred in our discussion was, oh, wait, who was the prime minister before Netanyahu? And you reminded me who it was.
Yeah, I had wanted to bring up Rabin as a parallel to Netanyahu, who I didn't realize how close Netanyahu's election was to the murder of Yitzhak Rabin. But Rabin was the prime minister immediate previous. And if there was ever an Israeli prime minister who was ever, I feel, doing the work and moving the needle on this topic, it was Rabin. And Rabin was murdered by a Jewish person, a Jewish extremist who, just like all the other forms of extremism we're talking about, didn't want to see the change Rabin was talking about, even if that change would have been ultimately so much better for so many thousands of people. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the context here and some of the detail here ends up becoming shocking. After our discussion, I sort of was going back into my historical memory bank, pulled up some of the literature. Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated on November 4th, 1995. He was of the centrist, progressive, sort of pragmatic party in Israel. He was the man who led Israel's participation in the Oslo Accords, which most folks familiar with this time in history will recall that Israel agreed to acknowledge that Palestinians have a right to self-determine. That was a major portion of the Oslo Accords. That the Palestinian Liberation Organization is effectively the political bargaining representative, the voice of the Palestinian people. And they agreed to slowly step down Israeli military presence in the West Bank and Gaza to remove or relocate some Jewish settlements from that area, yeah, and to allow a political party, basically a political apparatus within the Palestinian people in the West Bank and Gaza, to start electing leaders. Now, they did not acknowledge a Palestinian state as a government, right? A nation state.
Right, yeah.
But it was these Oslo Accords, the first one reached in Washington, D.C. in 93, the second one in Egypt in 95. Yitzhak Rabin was leading this effort. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for this effort. And the far-right extremist wing of Israeli politics at that time was the Likud party. It's still a party in Israel. And Benjamin Netanyahu was the head of that party. And the man that assassinated Rabin later said, I did this to protest the Oslo Accords. He invoked two Jewish traditional legal traditions, Din Rodef and Din Moser. We'll talk.
Every livestock farmer knows they can't control the weather. Recent growing seasons have shown rain can be hard to come by at times. Now you can add protection with a pasture rangeland forage policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services. PRF policies help protect you against future yield losses caused by a lack of rain. Better yet, they're customizable and can cover hay and pasture acres. To learn about a PRF policy, contact your local Ag Country office today.
Comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Guess what? You asked for it and you got it. The oldest furnace contest is back. Tri-City Services is giving away a free furnace to the winner of the oldest furnace contest. Whoever has the oldest working furnace in the Wisconsin Rapids area will win a free furnace. Yes, a free furnace. What are the rules, you ask? Well, entrants must own and reside in their home in the Wisconsin Rapids area. The furnace must be functional and the main heat source for your house. Pretty easy. So take a picture of that old dinosaur furnace and enter online at calltricity.com. Contest ends November 30th, so hurry. Enter your dinosaur furnace in the oldest furnace contest at Tri-City Services. Restrictions apply. Enter online at calltricity.com before November 30th.
You're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Round 58, cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Maggie Dawn Show.
And the women today, it's Anya and Maggie here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Never forget, you can call or text us the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789, or of course download that app where you can do that with just one click. We're talking about some of the disturbing parallels between the brand of politics and the rhetoric of Benjamin Netanyahu and what's going on currently in the United States, effectively, so as not to bury the lead here, drawing some parallels between Netanyahu's politics and some of his criminal allegations and that of Donald Trump. And Anya's joining me in this conversation. If you'd like to join us this afternoon, 844-967-2789. So we're talking about the prime minister that directly preceded Netanyahu before his first effectively term or period as prime minister. And that was Netanyahu served as PM of Israel from 96 to 99. He was then gone for 10 years, came back in 2009. I'll get more on that in a moment about why did this guy want to be prime minister again. But we were describing the historical, the things that preceded Netanyahu becoming prime minister, including the Oslo Peace Accords, and the fact that the more right party, the more extremist party, the more absolutist party, the party that objected to the accords, that said Israel shouldn't be making these concessions in the efforts to find peace with Palestinians, was the Likud party, led by Netanyahu. He called Rabin in various speeches, quote, removed from Jewish tradition and Jewish values, end quote. Rabbis aligned with the Likud party proclaimed, and you tell me how to say this, Din Rodef. How do you say this?
You know, I think you've got, yeah, din, so din is a common word. It tends to mean like court, like Beit Din.
Law.
Yeah, yep. Law, mm-hmm. Court, yeah. But I think you're saying it Rodef, yeah. Bin Rodef. Din Rodef,
Din,
yeah.
Din Moser, which I'm probably getting a little wrong. Those of you who know Yiddish or want to give us really good, vibrant pronunciation where Anya and I might not know, you're always welcome to call us, 844-967-2789. So Din Rodef is the law of the pursuer, which basically, through Jewish tradition, gives to the Jewish people sort of an innate right of self-defense. If you're being pursued, sought after, in other words, if someone's threatening you, you have the right of self-defense. And Dinmoser is law of the informer. These things intersect, where if someone is informing on you, revealing who you are, where you are, what you believe, to threaten you, Jewish folk believe we have the right to defend, to inform other people about the informer on us so as to protect ourselves. Well, rabbis aligned with the Likud party back then actually said that these laws could be invoked against Yitzhak Rabin personally. Does that rhetoric ring a bell with anybody? And in July of 95, 4 months before Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, Netanyahu led an anti-Rabin, anti-peace, anti-Oslo Accord rally. It was a mock funeral procession with a cough and a hangman's noose. And the protesters were chanting death to Rabin. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Following the rally, Netanyahu's then chief of national security, Carmi Gillon, told Netanyahu that they had uncovered a plot on Rabin's life and asked Netanyahu to dial back the rhetoric. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Netanyahu refused. 4 months later, Rabin was killed by a man who invoked both Din Rodef and Din Moser and being opposed to the Oslo Accords as his justification. He considered the assassination justified. I had a vague recollection of this, but when I read it, Anya, I have to say, I got chills.
Yeah.
I mean, hang Mike Pence, anybody? Using language of the purity of tradition and values, right? That Rabin was removed from Jewish tradition and Jewish values. The sense of xenophobia, the denial of self-determination to one particular group based on religious and ethnic differences. Does this sound familiar? Now, Netanyahu went to the private sector for a goodly time, but he ended up getting brought up on charges of fraud and bribery after 3 years of investigations in 2019. At the time, he had been serving for Ariel Sharon, another prime minister. Many of you may remember these names. They start coming back, right? Because Israel's always been an ally to the United States since its creation. He had been serving as the Minister of Foreign Affairs and then the Minister of Finance. So he gets brought up on these charges. So what does he do? He runs for prime minister. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Now, when we were talking about the show before, we were talking about the language and sort of the idea of othering, Anya. We're going to come back and start there because borders, boy, isn't that a matter of current debate? And one of the roots of the problem going on in the Mideast. We're going to start there when we come back. Join Anya and I on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 844-967-2789, where no topic is too uncomfortable or complicated for us. We get into it, don't we? Thanks for listening. Lock it in. We'll be back in a few.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs
and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. More than $402 million has been allocated to the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program. These funds will help 106 municipalities improve drinking water quality for people living in Wisconsin. The money will be awarded to municipalities over the next year and dispersed as eligible costs are incurred. It will help construct needed water infrastructure projects, including replacing lead service lines and addressing PFAS and other contaminants. Governor Evers said there will be a special focus on small and disadvantaged communities. The United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Day of Caring was a big success this weekend. 448 volunteers raked 80 yards on Saturday. Many area sponsors helped by providing t-shirts and breakfast to the volunteers. There are free monthly stock boxes of pantry staples available for seniors in Wood County. The Southwood County Hunger Coalition provides these to eligible seniors. Call 211 for more information. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 49, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely, highs level off around 69. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, isolated thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
May the source of strength who blessed the ones before us help.
to that. Thanks, Anya, as always and ever, for the great music that is so topical and poignant for these discussions. I know I appreciate it. We hear from our listeners all the time about how much they appreciate it as well. If you want to join our conversation today, we're exploring some of the eerie similarities between not only Netanyahu's first rise to power, his second rise to power, and what his prime ministership has been sort of marked by. And we were talking about, I was queuing up some of the parallels between the rhetoric employed by Donald Trump and certain members of the GOP talking about our southern border and some of the languaging and positions taken by Netanyahu related to Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. Now, an important caveat here: Hamas is a terrorist group. Hezbollah are a terrorist group. They have killed women and children. War crimes have been committed. These were targeted attacks on civilians, targeted attacks, kidnappings of non-combatants. Is not exactly equivalent of civilian death when a country defends itself. The United States has killed innocent people in the Mideast. So I just want to put that out there as a caveat, because I please don't angrily email or text us about that. Yeah. That's not the point.
It's more like Hamas is to the southern border situation here, kind of like the violence regarding the cartel in Mexico or violence regarding organized crime elsewhere, you know, in the same way, right? It's not indicative of all the individuals who live there. It's indicative of violence begets violence, and it's really terrible, right?
Well, and isn't that such an appropriate explainer, Anya? Because the language of Donald Trump and many is to conflate immigrants and those seeking asylum with those that seek to enter our country to do us harm. Building into the framework with which we're approaching that issue an innate suspicion, a presumption of bad faith of the other or the immigrant. Now, that candidly was part of Netanyahu's party line approach, the Likud party's approach to Palestinians. They do not acknowledge the right of Palestinians to self-determine, to self-govern. And in the recent years, you've seen from Benjamin Netanyahu overt steps to annex the West Bank. Haaretz has called some of the steps and Haaretz is the largest newspaper in Israel.
Oh, I'll correct that one. I'll correct that pronunciation. Sorry.
Tell me.
I wanted to tell you when Dom was on Haaretz, if that helps.
Haaretz.
It means it's the land.
A's, right?
Yeah. It's like Eretz Yisrael is like old Bible talk for the land that is Israel.
Israel.
Even before 48 and all these things, the concept of the land.
Correct.
Yeah. Haaretz. Sorry, get back into it.
Haaretz. No. Let's get it right and let's learn, right? So Haaretz called some of Netanyahu's recent years of policies vis-a-vis Gaza and the West Bank and resettlements to actually amount to ethnic cleansing. Especially in, for those of you wonks, what's referred to as Oslo-defined Area C, including the Hebron Hills and the Jordan Valley. Hey, does this sound a little bit like some of the GOP rhetoric? Now, make no mistake, to have good immigration processes, we do have to have a border that we are defending, right? There is a process. We don't want bad actors who intend us harm coming. But some of the criticism of Netanyahu has been that by pursuing an aggressive policy, which many believe violate international law, did he take his eye off the ball by vilifying all Palestinians? Did you actually miss the very real threat from the terrorists?
Yeah.
So there's a parallel. Go ahead, Anya.
Well, I was just going to jump in. I mean, it does feel like, you know, it's so hard to talk on these things. But yes, you know, to paint a picture wherein everyone on one side is the enemy, right? Okay, well, now you've painted the real enemy in the same shade as a bunch of other people. All you've done is cut yourself off at your own knees at trying to find the people who are actually. And to be clear, right, that is the issue with Hamas being Hamas. Hamas has said, if you read it from their own words, their goal is to kill Jews, right? Yep. And that is not the goal, obviously.
And to eliminate the theoretical age-old nation of Israel, right?
Yes, yeah. As opposed to what is, frankly, every other Palestinian's interest, which is surviving and having a good life, right? That's the difference. So it's just so hard, to watch Netanyahu and these others who think that this, like, hyper security, this, like, clenched fist approach was ever the right way to go, because all you've done is make more and more enemies, and it's just horrifying.
Well, when the other is, by your rhetoric and framework, evil, how is any compromise, how is any brokered peace possible?
Yeah. Right. How can you compromise with evil, and how can you compromise with someone who called you evil? I wouldn't be able to. I'm not a big enough person to do that. So, I mean, how could we expect, not that I'm the standard, but how could we expect anybody else to, right?
Well, you're pointing out that if you as a human being are convinced to believe that the other person, the other party, right, the other religious group of people that believe something differently from you, look differently, are innately evil. If that were true, you wouldn't accept any compromise or any path towards peace.
You couldn't.
But how? And again, I don't want to mistake or conflate peace, liberation, and justice. Okay? They're all individually necessary, but individually insufficient for human flourishing, right? And again, peace, liberation, justice. Hat tip to Stokely Carmichael many moons ago, who put that, tried to explain those concepts. Now, for those of you who don't know this, again, wonk here, Stokely Carmichael then did change his name. Notable civil rights activist Kwame Ture was his then selected self-identified name, and let's not call someone what they don't want to be named. Why don't we go to the phones, invite some folks in. Annie, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Anya and I. What do you think?
This is such a mess. I don't understand so much of why we support Israel so blindly. In a way, Netanyahu is just significant of the problem. I think two things. An article in the late 80s I read where an Israeli Jew was pleading, you know, stop sending us money because, you know, at least because it was being used to build Israeli buildings in land that was supposed to be for the Palestinians. You know, I thought that sort of started my interest in this. And also, I never knew about in 67. Attacked by Israelis, and 34 American it was just like, oh gee, we're sorry, and it's all secret, so we can't really say they're sorry. And it's
I just want to jump in there. First of all, I am not personally familiar with the national security event that Annie is referring to. I will, as we always try to do, look that up and look into it, of course. So we'll do that. But I think I may dislike and disagree with the manner in which Annie posed some of those questions, right? Because why do we support Israel? Because Israelis and Jewish people also have an innate right to self-determine, to safely practice their faith. They are a race that has been, over the entire course of human history, systemically tried to have been erased. I don't know how they've been the subject of genocide.
Exterminated.
Thank you. So that is in part why we help fund Israel, but we cannot dictate to Israel how they pursue their nation's self-defense.
And if I can just jump into this statement, like the words we and the words support and the word Israel, I have such a hard time contending with, because I want to be really clear, like, in what other instance are you asked, do you support insert nation here? And that word support means allow it to continue to exist, right?
Exist.
Like, I support that people who live in China can stay in China, move to somewhere else, do what they want, right? But that doesn't mean I support the Chinese government or everything it does or the way it treats everyone. In the same way, I do not support, right, the totality of the Israeli government. I don't support the totality of the American government, because there's a lot of people involved in both who make a lot of really terrible, stupid, racist, cruel choices. But we don't go, okay, well, now you don't get to exist anymore. Bye-bye. Good luck. Hope you can find another homeland in a couple hundred years. That's quite a scary thing to contend with, you know.
Importantly, and I apologize for butting in, Anya, but importantly, for Israel to continue to exist, it requires American funding. Because that was sort of the baked into Annie's question there.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's a false choice. It's not, do we support Israel? It's how and in what amounts.
Right. Absolutely. And who, frankly, who do we support? I don't support Netanyahu, but if someone else came in and was like, hey, I'm here and here's my good solutions, I want peace, I'd be like, I support that guy. He might become a part of the Israeli government one day. I don't know. It's just people.
Yep. We appreciate everybody, you know, calling. We've got a few callers. Keep joining us, 844-967-2789. It's complicated. It's hard to talk about, but talk about it we must, and trying to do it in a way that's grounded in humility and compassion, I think is really critical, and yet trying to extrapolate some of these lessons. Netanyahu had, again, three separate criminal charges pending when he won election in 2019, bribery, quid pro quo arrangements, effectively paying off for good press. Geez, does this sound familiar? There was a billionaire telecommunications mogul he was paying off for allegedly favorable treatment. These charges still pending. He still won election in 2022. Huge conflict of interest as well. Namely, that he then went about dismantling the justice system under.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way, too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance. care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Low is around 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 56.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Maggie Bone Show.
Dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, displaced, misunderstood.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We got one segment left. Join us for this important, tough, sometimes uncomfortable conversation that we just have to have. My deep thanks, as always, to Anya for jumping in here with me, sharing about yourself, of yourself, and your great knowledge. It is appreciated. We're going to go to the phones, but I just want to get through a couple of these other comparisons and parallels. The biggest one is what Netanyahu has tried to do to basically dismantle the judiciary branch in Israel since his re-election. He was facing all these crimes. He's basically attacked the legitimacy of it, has proposed legislation to basically strip the judiciary of the power to overturn laws. This has led to massive protests across Israel earlier this year. It was so undemocratic that scores of Israeli reservists, members of their military, resigned. 10,000 more threatened to resign. What's Donald Trump doing here? Exactly the same thing. Netanyahu elevated loyal extremists that he went back a while with, as well as those who had effectively pledged loyalty to him, to the highest levels of power in his cabinet, leading departments in the military. And it's become very clear that these people are acting and supplicating themselves to Netanyahu because it increases their personal power. Most of them know in good faith it's not good for the nation of Israel. Does this sound familiar to anyone? People willing to trade away principle and their oath to constitution and country for personal political power gains. I'm talking to you, Jim Jordan. Netanyahu has basically taken out longstanding military and intelligence leaders who it wasn't assured would be personally loyal to him. As Haaretz, the editorial board, observed, quote, Netanyahu marked the army, the Shin Bet security service, and a majority of the public as enemies of the people, quote unquote, in his pursuit of his own evasion of accountability. Does this sound familiar, anyone? This was the mix of stuff happening in Israel when Hamas, a terrorist organization that wants to seek the annihilation of the state, the nation of Israel, and all of its people, that's when they decide to strike. At that level of internal strife and delegitimization of institutions is going on in Israel. Does this sound familiar to anyone? We should be very afraid and concerned. And this is not partisan. Let's go to the phones. We got Jack from Merrimack. You're on the air. Say hi to Anya.
Hi, Anya.
Hi, Jack. Maggie.
So don't say that in an airport. Sorry, old bad joke. You stole a lot of my thunder. I was going to point out that Netanyahu had essentially respect their Supreme Court. And if you don't think that's happened in this country, you haven't been paying attention. I'm sure you have been paying attention. And it's not just about political power in the Supreme Court. They got plenty of that, that's for sure. But it's also about gaining monetary reward and our Supreme Court in this country. It is a very concerning situation. And this whole tear down of the political and the electoral process and the judicial process and the law enforcement process, all that stuff, very, very characteristic of what happened in fascist Germany back in the 1930s.
I agree with you. It's a frightening moment. And again, Netanyahu, basically a strong man. He is asked Israelis to give up many of their democratic and privacy rights, and did all of this in the exchange for a promise to keep the nation safe. Does this sound familiar to anyone? And it didn't keep Israel safe, did it? Mark from the SAC, you're on with Anya and I. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Great seeing you guys last night at the party. It was, a joy. But yeah, it's just so sad that in Israel's case, when Rabin was murdered, assassinated by a right wing extremist, it brought to mind that remember that Gandhi was murdered by a right wing extremist, and the troubles that between Pakistan and India that have gone on.
India moving, sorry to interrupt you, Mark, India moving towards authoritarianism right now. Listen, when we get afraid, when we think we're under threat, when someone then exploits that, right, this is what happens. Sorry to interrupt, Mark.
No, and it's just tragic that in both cases they're ethnic brothers. I mean, in the case of, in India and in Israel, that, I couldn't help but think of the story of Jacob and Esau, where they're ethnic brothers, and they found a way to reconcile it. Just at hopefully at some point in time, somebody will have the wisdom that they can find reconciliation between the Palestinian people and the Israeli people, because they're.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. We are coming up on time. If you want to get your last word in, 844-967-2789. Just look at what's going on in the House of Representatives right now. The GOP is no longer a legitimate political party in the United States. It's not. If you're a conservative, start over. Because your party has been lost. Lost to ideologues and extremists, the exploiters of the nation's anxiety. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Hillary Rodham Clinton just wrote a think piece for The Atlantic. Its title is The Weaponization of Loneliness. And that's what we've got going on now. And unless we can rediscover, find again community, find a way to identify the values that we have in common, whether or not we look the same, pray the same, eat the same, live in the same places. Unless we can come together on the values, we are in an existential moment of threat for the United States brought on by us. So, let's come together again. Moderates, pragmatists, speak up and out. Let's end the legislative paralysis. Find a compromise leader, not the wingnut that leads the group of wingnuts. That's not helpful, Mr. Jordan. And let's ensure that our elected officials care more about community and country than they do about their own personal power. No more chaos agents, no more liar, liar, pants on fire. We can do this, everybody. And thanks for tuning in. I hope this is a small step in pursuit of that most worthy goal. Thank you, Anya, Esther. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents, kind of different,
but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5